Good afternoon, Kimberly. Can you hear me, darling?
Hello, Heidi. Yeah, I can hear now. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very, very clearly. Thank you.
Good. Awesome.
How have you been? You've been well?
I have been in a fog, an absolute haze. How have you? How have
Why?
you? I don't know. How have you been?
Wonderful. I'm always wonderful, darling. Very, very well.
I don't think
Sun
you're as
always
easily.
shines in my world.
I don't think you're as easily affected by things so little like the weather. But for me, it's just been, I just can't stop sleeping.
Oh, well, the weather has changed quite a bit recently, hasn't it? We've had some dusty, dusty, hazy days, and the heat is now slowly creeping up on us.
It is turning up just a bit for sure.
Good. Fortunately, though, we live by the sea, so we can always dip our toe in the water and try and keep ourselves cool.
Yes, I went for a walk last night and it's still, yeah. So, but I saw that today the sun came out, which was nice because we needed this. We needed the sun to come out.
To brighten up our days a little bit.
Yeah. It really affects my mood. It really does. I'm not sure if I could live in England.
Oh, you'd be fine, darling. You'd be absolutely fine. You buy yourself a fantastic umbrella, and I'm sure you'll be fitting perfectly.
Yeah, I'm super affected by it. Seems like I get that seasonal
Oh, sad, I think they call it, don't they?
they seem to well, I think
Seasonal
they call it seasonal depression, where you're like affected
something
by
depressing. Yeah, you're affected by the change in the seasons.
the changes of the weather, the position
Happy
of
tea
the
will sort you out with that.
the position of the planets, whatever.
Yeah.
So, So I'm so thank you, first of all, for doing this. I know it takes a chunk of an hour out of your day.
Gosh, no,
But
darling. Thank you for asking. I
and
think it's
it's no, again,
wonderful.
yeah, there's no pressure. You're the first person from the UK, so I couldn't think of anyone else better than I like to call you Britain's finest.
Oh,
So,
thank you, darling. I love you too, Kimberly.
And I was telling in my intro the story of how, I don't know if you'll remember this, but I remember, well, first of all, you always give me the biggest hugs when you see me. And so you gave me, of course, your awesome like bear hug, and I was like, "What are you wearing? What is your perfume?" And you were like, "Oh, it's Chanel. It's Chanel it
Always.
number f Yes. And so I was like, well, duh. So then at the next time I went to the air, I was in the airport. I went, they have the duty frees, like the really nice stores. So I go and I'm like trying to sniff the one I smelled on you, and I couldn't find that. It's because there's a lot of them. I didn't realize how many
It
that
is an
they actually.
incredible collection. And then you've got the Privé collection as well. But no, I just wear the number 5 and number 22.
And so I look on the, I flip the thing and look at the price, and I almost fell over onto the floor. And I was like, well, no wonder it smells so darn good, because if it is expensive, it'll smell expensive, correct? So yeah,
Thank
I'll never forget that.
you, though. That's very sweet of you
But
to say.
so I would love to start with just who, like, I don't know how long you've even been here in Arabia, but what did you do prior to coming here? Like, who were you, and how old were your kids and all that prior to you even coming here into Arabia?
Gosh, well, we arrived as a family in 2014. But
So then you're pretty, okay.
my husband has been in the Middle East for just over 15 years now. So the girls and I have 2 girls. We joined him. My eldest at the time was, I think she was about 4, coming up to 4 and a half. And my youngest, I can tell you, was 2 years and 5 days.
Oh my goodness. So, okay, so he was with this company, or he had worked for other companies?
No, he'd worked for other companies in the Middle East. He'd done, I think my husband came, 2006, 2007, Jubail. I think he did 5 years, something like 5 years in Jubail. Then he went to Qatar, and then we came as a family to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, okay. Awesome. So he had a sense and a feel.
Oh, we all had a sense. Because I came to Saudi. My first visit was just pre-2010.
Okay.
So, and Dubail was very different. Saudi was very different then.
Yeah, I bet.
Very, very different.
So were you working in the UK prior to
coming? I was indeed, full-time working mum with two kids and a husband on the other side of the world. I'm a lawyer, solicitor. I specialize in property and private client.
Wow.
And that's what I did before I came here. And I still do that now. But obviously,
So when you go back in summers, you're picking up work.
Yes. So when I came here, I left full-time practice in the end of September 2014. And then the following year, I picked up locum work. So essentially what that means is that for me personally, I have an agent or an agency that I work with back home. Mm-hmm. I give them the dates that I will be back in the UK if I choose to work. And they will find me work. So if a partner from a firm is, say, going away on their 3 or 4 week summer holiday, and I fit that requirement, they will contact me and I will fill in for those 3 or 4 weeks.
That sounds very similar to, thankfully, what I can do with nursing as well. That's mm-hmm. awesome.
I know we've discussed this before, haven't we? No, it's wonderful. It affords you the ability to keep one foot in the working world,
right.
If that's your choice, if that's what you want to do.
Right.
And then also allows me to be here for my family.
Yes, and you are like everywhere. If there's a class,
am I?
if there's something going on, Heidi will be there.
I like to keep myself busy, Kimberly. I always have been.
Oh, yes. You are not going to sit in the house all darn day. That's for sure.
So, my husband didn't marry me for my domestic skills. I can tell you that now. I'm not the best in the kitchen. I do try. But no, I like it. There's lots to do. And you have to make the best of your time. And everybody is different. And everybody's interests are different. But I always think that there is plenty for you to fill your days with.
There is, and you can actually get too busy if you're not careful, honestly. That's
true as well.
If that's what you choose, I mean, if you want to, you can. You can be busy, for sure.
100%, darling. You have to just create your own balance. Yeah. You have to create your own balance.
Absolutely.
And that just comes with time. And you just knowing what is good and what works for you as an individual.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. So before coming to the Middle East, what was your international travel experience? Were you traveling?
We traveled all over the place. Yeah. Well, because my husband's been here in the Middle East for the 15, 16 years, when he first came to Saudi, back then, I think when he first got his job, before we got married, actually, I could never visit him in Saudi.
Right.
I think before then, at the time you needed to be a spouse, you needed to be wedded in order to come into the kingdom. So I used to fly out to Bahrain or Dubai to meet him, because we used to meet up like every three months or 5 months. And then of course when we started having when we had the children, and because I didn't get as much holiday as he did back then, he would then fly into the UK and take care of the children for a few weeks, and then we'd spend a few weeks somewhere else in the world.
Nice. Awesome. So was he like concerned about you coming here, knowing, you know, you love your freedom and your independence, or it was just a decision,
good,
you know?
God, no, good God, no, Kimberly. You know me better than that to know if he would be concerned about me. Never. No, not at all, actually. Not at all. Okay. Our personal experience is very different in that I visited him after our first daughter was born for a long stint when I was on maternity leave in Jubail. I then visited him for a long stint when I was on maternity leave with my second daughter when he was in Qatar. So the experience of coming to the Middle East was nothing new. What was very new for us is we had actually, as a couple and as a married couple, never lived with each other till we came on this journey together as a family to Saudi.
Wow.
So that was so it took 7 or 8 years of being together.
Right.
And then thereafter, we finally got the chance to live under the same roof. So I always say, for me personally, moving to Saudi as a woman and as a mother, as a wife, it wasn't a daunting experience. If anything, it was living with your husband for the first time.
Wow, that's incredible.
In a tiny flat. And it was just like, oh my God, okay, we can make this work. We will make this work. And we have made it work.
Yeah, you guys are brilliant together. I love how you, like when we were talking the other day at the yacht club, you were saying how you guys have the same birthday month.
We do.
You're within like a few days, I think, of each other.
We are. We have, his birthday is on the 26th of the month. We have a joint birthday on the 27th of the month. And my birthday is on the 28th of the month.
There you go. Yeah, like within 2 days.
Yeah, very, so, very close.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad you guys are here. And I've had the awesome opportunity of teaching your girls ballet.
I remember.
Yes, yeah. And your oldest is so sweet. Oh my goodness. And she is now, is she 12 now or 11?
She's 11. She doesn't 11. Turn 12 till the end of the summer. Yes, at the moment she's 11. 11 years old and living her best life at the moment.
So the thing with like boarding school, the concept for Americans is very foreign. Well, I would say in like the American genre, like the like regular normal American, like for the higher like income wealthier American people, I guess private and boarding is not as foreign. But for like the normal American, boarding school is a very foreign concept. So
yeah.
When we moved here, we found it, you know, it was very enlightening because for other cultures, even especially like us South Africans, people from the continent of Africa, it's very, very like, oh, there's like, it's like weird if you don't send your kid to boarding school. So the UK is the same way. And so it was again, enlightening for us as Americans to say, oh my goodness, they can send their kids out, you know, as early as whatever, and it's like totally fine, totally normal. So if you can share, so she left at 11, right, to go to school.
Yes, so she left the equivalent, so the American system. She completed her grade 5 here.
Started middle school, yeah.
And at 11, she's at boarding school now. She's doing really, really well. She loves it.
She's loving
best thing we could have ever done for her. But the truth is that's the reason why we came. We always knew that she would, or that our children would be going. So when I first came to Saudi Arabia, when she was at school back in the UK, she was attending a public school. So public schools back in the UK are private schools. And her particular school was earmarked because they board from 6.
Wow.
And the reason for that being, coming back to our personal situation, is that I was working full time. My husband's on the other side of the world. And it just made sense to have that set up readily available for when and if she did start school there, that she could board from the age of 6. Having said all of this before, I'm sure it'll probably shock some people to hear that.
But
the school that she was attending is only a 10-minute drive from my mother's. So had she had remained, she would have been picked up on a Friday evening and dropped off on a Monday morning. And then, of course, I would have, you know, gone down from London to where my parents are, seen her. And that's what would have worked for us had we not come here. But of course, having then come here and then having the option to send her to any boarding school, if you like, in the UK. And it was a wonderful experience in trying to find her one. And we did it through COVID, and we didn't even visit the school. conversation for a different day. Yep, we didn't even go to school, though we were giving a private tour online because everything was done during COVID.
I sent my kid all the way to Hawaii. I never even visited the school. It was the first time I'd ever been to Hawaii. It was when I took her there. So I hear you.
Exactly. The first time I went there was to go and pick up the school, go and size her up for the school uniform with my mummy. And it was a wonderful experience. But I remember saying to my mummy at the time, I said, I really, really hope that I like the school when I walk in. Because my mother said to me, there's nothing you can do now.
No, I get it. It's definitely, I mean, the course of our entire, kids' lives has been so shifted since we, I mean, because their boarding school would have never even been on the table had we stayed in America. So it's been awesome for our kids. I know that for
sure. Your daughter's loving it. Yeah, exactly. Like my daughter, she's in her element. And she loves it. She's loving every minute of it. And it's wonderful. Yeah. It makes our lives as mothers a lot easier when you how much they're enjoying
it. Thriving. Yeah, it when you see them thriving. Yeah, for sure. Even when it's not under your roof or with you or near you or next to you, it's still, it's just worth it to see them thriving and blooming and growing and getting these opportunities they wouldn't have otherwise. So
of course.
Completely agree with that. So in terms of coming out here, would you have any like advice about relocating per se? I mean, about,
well, I think for anyone that's coming to these foreign lands, I think it's with anything that's a new adventure. You need to come with an open mind and an open heart. But above all, I think you should also come with lots of buckets of patience. You need to have an awful lot of patience, I think.
Oh yeah,
buckets when of you patience, start on that. This journey. And it is a journey. You need to allow yourself time to adapt, to settle, and not just for you, if you come with children, your children, your husband, for him to settle into his work, to create your home.
Literally, to make like friends. From scratch.
Exactly. Yes. And to find your new path, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think patience is the real key there, because for some people, they're quite lucky. They meet their friends immediately. Like when I first came, we were put in accommodation that I wasn't expecting. In less than 2 years, Kimberly, I did 4 moves. Ooh. This was my 5th move. So where we are at the moment with my 5th and final move, this is where we were supposed to be. So in less than 2 years, we did 4 moves.
Yeah.
But along that journey, I met some wonderful people, and I know some wonderful women, and it can be a wonderful life, but it's what you make of it.
Always.
It can be, at times you feel that you're missing out on things back home, especially if you're well connected with your family. I know you are, like I am. And you feel like you miss out on those milestone moments. But at the same time, we have technology now. Going back again to when my husband was first here, all we had was Skype and huge phone bills every month. Because there was no way to, I'd come out of work, I'd be calling him and he'd be going off and doing something, or vice versa. Especially when we had the children, I was always tired and it's like, I can't speak now. And Sunday is my day of rest and Sunday is his first day of the week. And the phone bills would be so expensive because you didn't have free minutes or anything like that.
Yeah.
Whereas now, aside from Skype, you've got FaceTime, you've got Messenger, you've got VoIP, you've got Google Duo. You don't miss out on anything. You can be in a restaurant. Your parents, they can be in a restaurant back home celebrating their anniversary with everybody. And you're not there and someone puts the screen up and you can just watch it for like the whole 2-3 hours they're there. and be a part of it, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, that's true.
I think at the moment we're very, very lucky in that sense. But yeah, you need a lot of patience. Again, as I said, I've met some wonderful people along the way, along my journey with all those moves. I didn't open my suitcase for nearly, one of my suitcases for nearly 2 years. I refused to. I remember I used to say to my friends, this is not where I'm supposed to be until I've got to that final house. Then is the moment that I will open my suitcase. And we've traveled.
That one's not converted. So that.
I know. So, but you see, for me, I think I'm one of the few, and I think you've heard me say this before as well. I'm looking forward to the conversion. When else am I going to get the chance to do a deep spring clean?
It's amazing. It's unbelievably therapeutic. I loved it. I loved it.
And you accumulate so much in such a short space of time. It's shocking.
My kids are like, our house is so empty now. I'm like, no, it's not empty now. It was just full of crap before.
And then there's also the chance to, when you're here, you get the chance, I think, to travel to lands that you might not have otherwise about traveling to.
Absolutely.
It might not have been as easily accessible.
Absolutely.
So obviously there's the distance as well. Some people don't want to travel that far to certain places.
Especially from the US.
I've been, or should I say, we have been to some fantastic places.
Yeah, can you list some of the ones you've been to?
Oh, well, I won't bother with Europe, darling, because we're already that side. So it's it's just on your doorstep. So where have we been? Let me think. We've been to Egypt, much like yourself. Wonderful. Seeing the pyramids, a trip on the Nile, went to Alexandria. Amazing. Obviously, Qatar, Abu Dhabi, Dubai and Bahrain become regular trips. Sri Lanka. We went to Kuwait. That was wonderful. I've been to Jordan. Went to Petra, one of the oldest cities in the world. What is it called? I think it's called do they call it the Red Rose City, I think? It's beautiful. Have you been?
Not yet. We plan to go back probably to Sharm. And then from Sharm, I think we're going to do a Jordan trip.
Oh, I highly recommend it. Recommend it.
Yeah, because we didn't get to do the Nile to Luxor either. So we want to go see the valley, the temple, the Valley of the Kings.
Petra's stunning. There's a labyrinth of passageways, and it's steeped in mysterious, enigmatic history. You feel when you're there that you're unleashing your inner Indiana Jones. It's that good.
Oh, yeah. Ancient civilizations that go back so far that we get to step foot on these lands and in these places where, you know, these souls have been before 4,000 plus years ago. It creates
phenomenal, isn't it?
It creates some definite, you know, moments.
Goosebumps. Of course you do, darling. Of course you do. It's Dead Sea as well. That was wonderful. Very hard to swim in the Dead Sea. I don't know if you've been there. You just float. It's such a surreal feeling.
No, but
that was magnificent.
What was your favorite out of all of the places you've been? What would you say is your favorite?
It's so difficult. It's just difficult because all of them are places that I've always wanted to go to. So when I went to Lebanon, I actually did that by myself with a group of people I didn't know. So that was an interesting experience. Yeah. I saw a post up and someone, I think it fell over a long weekend. And then I just clicked yes. And my husband came home and I said, well, you know, the long weekend's coming up. You're looking after the kids because I'm off to Lebanon.
So tell me more about, like, because you have Lebanese ancestry.
No Lebanese in me, darling.
Oh,
no.
Okay. No. What's your ancestral line?
So my father is from the UK and my mother is from Iran.
Oh, Iranian. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I thought it was Lebanese for some reason. And so do you observe Islam or practice Islam? And like, I didn't want to say anything. When you were talking to Arabella the other day, what language is that?
That's Farsi. So the girls are bilingual. Persian. Iranian.
It's
if you like.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
So I suppose, yeah, Farsi is the correct terminology.
Farsi.
Farsi. F-A-R-S-I.
Farsi. Okay.
Yeah. So I speak Farsi with the girls. Always have done.
Wow.
My mother obviously speaks to them in her mother tongue.
Okay.
As well.
So you grew up being talked to from your...
Yes, as soon as I was born, actually. I did the same with my girls. In fact, when my eldest started nursery, she didn't speak any English.
Okay.
She only spoke Farsi, so she essentially learned English at nursery.
So was your mom born in the UK, or was she
She was born in Iran.
Wow.
And then she took a year out with her sister and decided in the 70s to travel around Europe. And then they were going to do the States.
Wow.
So one of the countries that mummy was on her list was the UK. She went to the UK with her sister, met my father, fell in love, stayed. And then my aunt went off to the States. She met her husband.
Wow.
Fell in love. And ever since then, she's remained, she lives in Orange County, Los Angeles.
No way.
Yeah.
I love it.
And my mother remained in the UK with my father.
Interesting. And so she observes and practices Islam?
Within her definition. Religion is very personal.
Okay.
As do I.
Right.
But it stops there.
So were you observing Ramadan? Were you fasting for Ramadan?
Oh, I do Ramadan every year.
Okay. Okay, I'm so excited because I wanted someone to come and speak a little because we're in Ramadan. I mean, it's about to be, you can feel the excitement in the air with Eid coming for the celebration of the end. But what does Ramadan represent to you?
Me?
Yeah, for you personally, I guess.
Yeah, because obviously being someone that's from different cultures, I sometimes feel like the way I've been brought up, our outlook is somewhat different, which is fine. So for me, Ramadan is about appreciation for what I have. And how can I say this? So, I mean, you've known me some years now, darling. So I've always done Ramadan and I never change my day-to-day schedule.
Right.
So I still do everything.
All your activities, right?
Yeah, all my activities. And I think it's very, very important in that, or at least the way that I've been brought up, so that when you come to break your fast at the end of the day, you understand and you understand what it is to be without water and food when you're completing all your activities and your tasks for the day. And then you have a heightened, I feel, appreciation for that glass of water that you're about to drink, or that date that you're about to bite into. And I think that's very, very important. Obviously, it's good for the body physically, I believe, but I think mentally as well. You develop a huge appreciation for what you have. And it just gives you the chance in life just to take a moment to reset your mind. I think that's very important.
It's very spiritual.
It is. But nobody else in the family does it. Only mummy and I.
Oh, okay. So does she read the Quran at all? Like, can she read? Does she do anything with Arabic? Or
No. Oh, good God, no. Mummy's of a certain vintage now. No. She does a Sudoku every day, though. That's a cotton fox. No, she did all that when she was younger. But that's never been imparted onto my sister and myself. We believe religion is a personal journey between you and what you believe is up there or out there.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, the Catholics do Lent, and so the concept is super similar. It's actually the same. It's actually the very same thing. You're giving up something, sacrificing a part of something that brings you pleasure so that you can deny that part. And then in the denial, you are heightening those other senses to be a bit more transcendent in your awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So that, yeah, mm-hmm. so that when you have that thing back in your life again, it's like, oh.
Important. You value it more. Yeah. Yeah, no, you do. You do.
Yeah, it's very, very similar. And what I found really significant about Ramadan this year was like, because Ramadan, again, I was discussing with this with you earlier, like how Islam follows the lunar calendar. And so Ramadan gets pushed up, like, I think 10 days every year. It comes mm-hmm. a bit sooner than the year prior. But what's crazy is Passover for the Jewish religion, Ramadan for the Muslims, and Lent, Easter, Holy Week, all
yeah,
of
them. Yeah, there was a crossover recently this year.
They lined up this year at the same time, mm-hmm. which I think was really significant. I don't know. For me, I thought it was pretty cool. So, yeah. Very interesting stuff to be in this land where like all these ancient civilizations kind of come together. It's very powerful, especially when I was in Sharm el-Sheikh, because in Sharm el-Sheikh, there's lots of Christian Egyptians. I noticed there was more Christians there than I felt like in Cairo. I never got a chance to go see the Coptic churches either. I need to go back to Cairo just for that, to be honest. But
did you do Alexandra?
No, we never got there either. We need to, because that's where like baby Jesus he like hid mm-hmm. out there until it was safe again
It truly is beautiful. And they have so some much... beautiful, beautiful Roman architecture there as well.
Oh, I bet. Really there's so much beautiful. Spiritual connection in these lands here.
We are very, very spoiled.
Yeah. Very, very cool. So this is kind of a funny question. So is there mm-hmm. a product that you find in our commissary that'll make you like really, really happy that they usually don't have? Is there like that one little product that you're used to getting?
It's a strange question, Jenny. Ooh.
is that something that even tickles your fancy? I don't even know. But for me, like, there's stuff that I find like once in a while that'll just make my whole day. I'm like, oh my goodness, I found tortilla chips like in the commissary.
Oh no, not chips. I'm not a great fan of chips. Let me think. Food for thought here. Recently, I can't really think of anything. I do like sauerkraut.
That disappears
very, very quickly. In fact, one of my husband's friends, when he sees it, he purchases it in bulk, and then he'll send my husband a message as if to say, I cleared the shelf. Thank you.
Yep.
Drop the mic.
I know.
It's like, I'm always excited when there's sauerkraut.
I need to stock up. Cottage cheese is hard to find too. I don't know why cottage cheese is.
Yeah, that comes in waves, and especially if you if you only like a particular flavor of cottage cheese, because recently I've noticed there's a lot of chive cheese and chive cottage cheese.
Right.
Chive,
yeah. Cottage if you don't like the cheese. Chive, I guess like you're original shit
or pineapple. Yeah. If you don't like pineapple, then it doesn't really work, does it? Although I do like pineapple, but just not in cheese. I'm always surprised by the price of goods.
Oh my goodness! I don't even look anymore. I just don't even look.
It's that's shocking. But
I don't pay attention.
Again, Kimberly, we are very lucky in that we have a shop on site,
right?
That is, or certainly during COVID, I think was quite well stocked, because when I had my friends back home, most of them were telling me that the shelves were bare back then. I don't know in the States what it was like, but in the UK they went through a phase of the supermarket shelves being bare of pasta and, you know, no loo roll, etc. Whereas here we seem to have everything.
Yeah. I wouldn't say what the heck? Like, inflation's going on really bad, and so like in America mm-hmm. some shelves are kind of empty, and it like you said, I don't really feel like it's affecting us over here yet, at least. I'm not sure.
No, not at all. But what I will say is that I sometimes I find it a struggle. So say if you're you've got friends coming round and you're thinking, okay, like what sort of menu can I create? Or I want to cook this, and we're going to have, this for main or for a starter. And then you'll go to the comm and you can't find what you want for love nor money. And you
No,
find
it's
yourself
like,
improvising. You have to be able to think on your feet.
yeah, it's like, what can we use for a substitute? Google. Yeah, for
Exactly.
sure. I've used lots of chicken broth in place of white wine in my cooking, for sure. What else was I gonna? Dang it, I was gonna say something. Oh, I've been here 7 years. I have yet to see ground turkey in our grocery store. Still have yet to see. We get ground chicken, ground beef, but definitely no ground
Turkey,
turkey. At least
no.
on site, maybe off site somewhere,
Maybe
but
at Christmas though, you could buy a turkey, then take
and
it
ground
to,
it.
yeah,
Ah!
exactly, and freeze that. Maybe that's the way around that. What I don't see much of is duck breast.
Oh, I see quail sometimes.
Yes, isn't quail? The quail's lovely. I love quail.
Oh, I've
Very
never tried
delicious
it. I
meat.
should probably
It's
pick it
very
up.
delicious meat. Yeah, very
Huh.
delicious.
And there's lots of like fish with like the heads, like a whole fish. And you're like, what do I do with that?
Got no idea, darling. Like I said, my kitchen skills are limited, but I'm learning, or at least trying to. Patiently. Takes patience, Kimberly.
Especially during Ramadan too, because I mean we have a like limited amount of, well, at least the shawarma place is open, but everything else is kind of closed until about 4. But we're dealing with it. It's all good. It
You
is
have to
all good
adapt.
in the head. Yeah,
You
absolutely.
have
Who
to
needs
learn
to
to
eat
adapt.
anyways? I almost like participate just because I'm like, well, if everyone else isn't eating, I guess I shouldn't either. What is your favorite thing about being here, and what is your least favorite thing?
The favorite for me is quite simple in that we are together as a family, or we've been able to be together as a family.
I
That's a
know.
huge thing, or was a huge thing for us when we first came.
Right.
My least favorite thing. Can I say that I don't really have a least favorite thing?
Of course you can.
I can't think of anything that sticks out in my head, except to say what I said earlier, that obviously I miss my family back home.
Being a like being miles and miles and miles, like, yeah,
Oh gosh, yes,
gosh.
because my sister has little children, and you miss out on their birthdays and their special moments,
Yeah, that's
and
tough.
and they're wondering why their aunt isn't there, and you've always got to explain, and I'll be coming soon, I'll bring you an extra big present, etc. So these little
Aww.
things, although they're little, but I think for me they're very important.
I bet you're the
But
best aunt.
I like to think I am. In fact, I know I
And
am. I'm a fabulous
tidy.
aunt. I'm a fabulous aunt. I really am. I love them. I have four children. I don't have two. That's what I usually say. I've got four, not two.
Aww,
I've
I
got
could
four
see you
girls,
being
not
a
two girls.
really fun aunt. Yes. Sure. Okay, so when you guys go out and about, do you use any Arabic words? Are there any, or is it just
Not
like the
really,
common
darling. Not
greetings?
really. Aside
Okay.
from all the common words that everyone else seems to use. No,
Right.
nothing else. No.
Yeah. Which airport do you like better, Dammam or Bahrain?
Dammam is the one that I use most frequently. So I suppose I'll just go with that.
I like Dammam. Do you wear an abaya when you're out or no?
Oh, what do you think?
I don't know. Do you have like a
Yes, Kimberly.
designer abaya?
Do they
I
have
don't know.
designer buyers? I've not seen those.
You're like, it's Dior, darling. Of course, I'm gonna wear my Dior abaya.
No, I do wear a buyers when I go out, when I'm off
Cool.
camp. Yes, and I don't mind wearing a buyer, and I've never minded wearing an abaya. I actually find them quite comfortable.
I like leaving them open, but then I have to always like make sure I've got pants on underneath. But if you have a closed one, you could actually wear shorts. So
Oh, no, darling, I don't do that. I'm open with, you know, you can jazz it up with a nice scarf or something. And
yeah, I
it's
love
just
the open
personal,
look.
isn't it?
Yeah, I like how it can flow like that. And then, so are you driving out and about, or is it hubby that's usually driving?
Hubby.
Hubby. Okay.
Hubby. We call him hubby now, shall we? Hubby.
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 Hubby. Okay, so I'm going to do quick rapid fire. So when I ask you the question, you just have to say like one or the other.
Oh, I'm terrible at this sort of thing, Kimberly.
Okay, do you kill bugs when you find them, or do you take them outside?
Depends on the bug. Told you, I'm terrible at this sort of thing.
Do you learn by watching or learn by doing?
Both.
Fresh food or fried food? Oh my gosh, of course.
Oh, come on, don't even ask me that question. Do not insult me.
You're like, as I eat my fresh strawberries. Are you more cautious or bold? That's
both.
Because
it depends.
I definitely think you are.
I think you're both.
Yeah, I definitely could see you.
For those that know me will probably say both. Yeah.
I would say you're cautiously bold. Oh, you're bold. Yeah, cautiously bold. That's what I would say. Cannonball into the pool or dip your toe in first?
Oh, it depends whose pool and where we are.
And what kind of chemically altering substances are involved? Would you rather sleep in late or take a long nap midday?
Neither. Life is for living. Sleeping's for the dead.
Up early and, yeah, up late.
My daughter's actually asked me this not so long ago, and I can't answer that because I have a summer child and I have a winter baby, a Christmas baby. So we'll stick with both.
Salty or sweet?
Oh, I'm afraid to say sweet.
Tea or coffee?
Well, it depends what day of the week it is.
I told you
I'm not very good at this sort of thing.
Would you rather find your dream job or win the lottery?
Oh, dream job.
Dream job. Oh, this is a good one. Would you rather travel to the past or to the future? If you could time travel.
Can I not just stay where I am? Yeah, because the past has already happened. If the past has already happened, whatever's happened in the past has made me the woman I am today.
I just want to go back and find out how the pyramids were actually built. Like, if I could just go back in time to be there.
Oh, you mean like in that sense? Okay,
Not for your life. Like, I'm talking like across generations. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, darling. Because you might see something in the future that you really don't want to see or know about.
No one knows how they were built, and I just want to go back to find out what happened.
Gosh. It was the aliens.
Well, no, that is a theory. So
I know it is. I've read about that theory as well.
It is not that far out there when you think about it. So,
they are phenomenal, though. If you've seen them in person.
Oh.
It blows your mind.
It does.
How they could have created those and how is it that they're still standing? Exactly. What tools do they use to build these huge monuments? Phenomenal. Breathtaking.
No, exactly.
You've really, really got to bend your back when you crawl into them.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Same with the mummies. It's like, okay, they knew how to preserve the body. That's wild.
Well, no, it's what you want to be preserved when you're dead. You probably would, wouldn't you, Kimberly?
Mummy. I mean, they had this huge. They just thought that the after, you know, you had to take everything with you. You know, they.
No, I know. That's why their crypt had all their jewels with them. Gorgeous.
Did you get to see did you get to go to the museum while you were there?
Yeah, the main museum in Cairo. We saw the mummies. The girls were. I wouldn't say they were shocked. Fascinated. No, far from it. Oh my God, mummy! It's still got hair on it. Look, it's still got a tooth.
Yes, the hair is totally like wild. You're like, is that a wig? I mean, it's just so crazy.
I'm sure if they weren't encased in glass, my girls would have been prodding at them.
Yeah, they're pretty strict and they wouldn't let us take pictures. I was so upset.
No, not at all.
But anyways, so I'm so glad you came on. And it wasn't that bad. I think people think like interrogated or something. And it's just a small conversation and chat. That's all, just to get your perspective. And I love that. I just love your perspective in general in life, about life and how you carry yourself. And I love to be around you. And when I see you, it's awesome. It makes my day. And I hope to see you later in yoga.
You're coming this evening. Have you been to the new yoga house?
Studio? No.
Oh, it's phenomenal, darling. It's such a treat.
Yay!
We are truly blessed to have an area that is just dedicated to yoga. It's been needed for a long time.
Isn't it like 5?
I think it's 5:15 for the hour.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be wonderful.
I will be there. And again, thank you so much for coming on. And just, I'm going to share this with an expat community once we get enough people on so that people just get an idea. This is the perspective, you know, from the wife side, the women. I feel like our voice kind of doesn't really get heard too much. So
it matters.
It does. It matters.
Our voice matters. Everyone's experience is very, very different. And I think that that's what we always need to remember. And I think what you're doing is absolutely fabulous, Kimberly.
Thank you, darling.
Because we are all very, very different women.
Yeah.
And we live our lives differently. We're different people. We see differently. We experience differently. We react differently. And that's all okay.
Yeah, it is.
And it's wonderful that you're bringing all of that together. So well done, you, my friend. I'm very, very impressed. And I'm very, very proud of you.
Awesome. Thank you, Miss Heidi.
You are, in the words of Rumi, you really do respond to every call that excites your spirit.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that more.
Sometimes a curse.
Thank you very much. I'm off to play tennis now. Wish me luck in the heat.
Oh, it is hot, my love. Bring your water.
I know. I can't, can I? Fasting, darling.
Dang it. Well.
Don't worry. I've already been for a walk and done Zumba this morning, so and for a bike ride, so I'm all good.
Oh my god, I think I slept till like 10 or 11. I just cannot stop sleeping. I don't know. I really don't know.
The body's just telling you it just needs to rest.
Yeah, it's just tough to respond when it tells you that. Like, it's like,
I know, because your mind's thinking differently.
Yeah.
But that's all okay. It's all right.
Yep. Yeah, I've been going through some things.
We're in the 40 plus club now, Kimberly.
Physical things. Yeah, I'll be.
It's part of that phase of life. And we have to embrace it.
Well, we will say adieu and just have him hit the balls to you so you don't have to, you know, run so much.
What makes you think I don't do that already? Kimberly, it's always a pleasure, darling, to hear your voice and to talk with you. Thank you again and have a wonderful day.
Yes, ma'am. I have to come over to Shisha.
Oh, look forward to it, darling. Look forward to it. After the break. I love you buckets, darling. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.